Our next presentation will be given by Quingo Huang, co-authors Liang Mao and Junhee Liu. The title of the presentation is Reactions of 17-beta estradiol mediated by lignin peroxidase, phase distribution of products.
Thank you for the introduction. Like I said, I'm going to talk about reactions of 17-beta estradiol mediated by lignin peroxidases. Lignin peroxidases are a group of enzymes that are produced by white rot fungi. And it is known that they are able to catalyze a wide range of chemicals. And in particular, it's well known that they can catalyze the a transformation of persistent organic pollutants, like PCB, PAH, lignin, those chemicals. And also by nature, phenolic and analytic chemicals are their natural substrates. So that we know that a lot of emerging contaminants fall in this category, so it makes it possible that this can be a good catalyst for emerging contaminants transformation. And another characteristic we need to know about, it's well known about it, is that many fungi that produce such enzymes also produce a chemical called veratryl alcohol, VA, that is able to, as a secondary metabolite. And this chemical can work with this enzyme to enhance its performance, catalytic performance. We have demonstrated in our earlier studies that we tested a few natural and synthetic estrogens, and we found that they're able to react with this enzyme. For example, estradiol, and ethinyl estradiol. So this led to an important hypothesis that reactions catalyzed by these enzymes are present in the natural environment, soil environment, and water environment. So it raised a hypothesis, whether it's such reactions catalyzed by this enzyme and other enzymes that can catalyze similar reactions may play an important role controlling the environmental fate of these chemicals, estrogen chemicals. And also, it also provide a basis for a potential application of such reactions in pollution control and remediation of the emerging contaminants. So we built, just aiming at those hypotheses, we did more research along those directions. And here I'm going to discuss some data we collected recently about 17-beta estradiol. We particularly just choosing this, we choose this chemical as a model contaminants and look at the reaction mechanisms or behavior of this chemical and look at the products property and toxicity, so on and so forth. And here we show one experiments. We compare the reaction of estradiol, 17-beta estradiol in four different systems containing different components. In one system, just E2, with under this relatively mild reaction condition. We intentionally choose this mild condition so that we can see the variations of the transformation removal, E2 removal, and also for later on, I'm going to show that such mild condition allow us to capture the reaction intermediates by product identification. So here we can see that just with E2, the system with E2, we see some transformation, but in the presence of NOM, dissolved organic matter, the transformation is, the removal is reduced slightly. And in the presence of VA, it's enhanced. And again, with VA and NOM is reduced slightly in the presence of NOM. come. So it's sort of in line, I mean, consistent with our earlier understanding. VA enhance catalytic performance, and NAM sort of reduce because NAM is also substrates of this enzyme. You know, there are computation involved there. So then we further identify products in each of these four systems. We use edge purity, just UV detector. Here we compare that this A is a blank system. We compare that with a B, C, D, E corresponds to each of that four systems I talked on the previous slide. And one thing we observed is that we can identify five primary peaks, you know, that appeared in the racking system, each of the four racking systems, although they are at different quantities. Then we further used mass spec. We found the first three peaks all have the same MZ value, and about 541. That just by that alone as indicates that this is a dimer of 17-beta-isodiol, which molecular weight is 272. And that 80, the two later peaks have the molecular weight of 811, which is likely the trimer of 17-beta-isodiol. So just by that alone, we propose that, you know, this also in combination with general understanding of this enzyme catalysis, we propose that this is a reaction through a radical coupling process. We know that lignin peroxidase is able to catalyze a single electron oxidation to remove one electron from the molecule to form a so-called free radical. And that free radical can either further go in, you know, break down into smaller pieces. Like that happened with PAH and PCB, you know, like in the earlier studies. However, those free radicals may also couple with each other. When they encounter each other, they may couple. So that's called coupling. Radical coupling. So that because that free radical, that single electron can dislocate around that aromatic structure, so you have multiple sites that allow them to combine with each other, so that allow you to form different isomers. That's why we saw three peaks. And we only saw two trimer peaks. But those products can further serve as a substrate of lignin peroxidase to further go on the oxidation and the coupling processes so that you can form a higher degree of polymers. But another thing I want to mention is that we didn't really observe, those are the major products we observed. We didn't observe evidence peaks that have molecular weight smaller than E2. So this suggests that polymerization, the coupling is the primary reaction pathways rather than degradation, unlike the PAH, PCB in certain cases, seems that with lignin peroxidase degradation have happened. Okay, then we compared the products profiles in different reaction systems. Again, you know, in one thing we note is that in the presence of VA, regardless if of the presence of NAM or not, you know, we can see one tendency is that the higher the trimer, the relative quantity of trimer tend to increase in relative to the dimers. So that suggests that the, you know, in the presence of VA, they tend to form higher degree of oligomers, which is further confirmed by the mass spec. You know, in the presence of VA, the trimer peak in relative to the dimer peak, the ratio increased in comparison to the one without VA. Another thing we note about the four reaction systems were that in the presence of NAM, the formation of the dimer and trimers were reduced, right? Which, I mean, because if you remember that the removal of E2 was also reduced. So we further, actually, we further normalized that formation by the removal of E2. That is to compare the product formation per E2 transformation. Even that, we can still say that it's reduced per E2 removal. So that suggests that the explanation can be that NOM itself is also the substrate of lignin peristase to form the radicals. So there could cross coupling happen. You know, the NOM can cross couple to the E2 free radical. So when that happens, the self coupling of E2 is sort of reduced, suppressed, so that the dimer and trimer products, the relative quantity was reduced. So that is an indication that cross coupling may happen, which incorporates the E2 moieties into the natural organic matter. Further, that we were really curious about the traceability or the environmental fit of the products in light of that, now that we know that it's primarily coupling products. So we collected the product's solution, you know, under one standardized reaction condition. We perform the reaction, then we collect the solution. We pass the solution through a 0.45 micrometer membrane filter. Then we collect the filtrate, then concentrate, finalize the volume in 1 milliliter methanol, and analyze it by HPLC. And we also elute, of course, we rinse the filter a couple of times, then we elute the filter with methanol, finalize the volume also in 1 milliliter methanol. Then we compare the concentrations in the filter phase and the filtrate phase. It's very interesting here. In the filtrate, we only see E2. E2 can pass the membrane, but we don't see any of the products present in the filtrate. But, you know, they are present in the methanol elution of the filter. So that tells us that the products can be returned by 0.45 micrometer membrane. We further tested the product solution by ultracentrifugation at 8,000 G for 10 minutes. Then we compare the upper layer concentration with the lower layer of the solution, you know, concentration by HPLC analysis. Again, it's very interesting. The E2 concentration is comparable, equivalent, but we created a gradient of the concentrations of other products. So that combined this result with the filtration result, it suggests that the products are colloidal solids, which is understandable because the dimer trimer products have larger molecular size, so their solubility is greatly reduced because of larger size is harder to get into water, you know, to mix with water. The molecular volume is bigger. They need to create a bigger cavity in water to hold them. So that costs energy. Also that the coupling processes converts the hydroxyl groups into ether groups, which is less soluble. So both effects combined greatly reduce the solubility of the products so that they tend to aggregate and precipitate. So that has a very important environmental implication in terms of their environmental fate and application, because that means that the products can be removed by macrofiltration, which is much more practical than nanofiltration, which you know is very risk to operate, very high cost in terms of large scale water treatment application. So microfiltration is much more amenable for application. And also that it also suggests that because they are colloidal solids, they may just settle down in the sedimentation and the coagulation processes in water treatment. So that's one suggestion. Another suggestion is that products, their environmental fit and transport could be very different because they are colloids. Rather than truly dissolve the species. So that can have an implication of their environmental transport, and also bioavailability for sure, you know, and toxicity. So we tested the toxicity, the astrogenicity, by e-screen tests using the MCF7 cells. Here on the left shows a standard curve from, you know, in which is not much different from the literature value. The astrogenicity dropped like undetectable, you know, when the concentration is lower than 10 to negative 12 molar concentration. So on the right, we show our test with a system with a solution which initially contained 10 to negative 7 molar concentration of E2, and we performed a stepwise treatment. So I mean, in other words, we just add this H2 a low amount of H2 to an enzyme to the solution stepwise. In three steps, we saw that the astrogenicity is reduced along the treatment. And after three steps of treatment, the astrogenicity is gone. So that indicates that, you know, the 17 beta isordial concentration is below 10 to negative 12 molar concentration, and also demonstrates that the products are not astrogenic. So with that, we can conclude that the nicotine peroxidase, it's a model enzyme. There are also other catalysts, other enzymes, and inorganic catalysts that can mediate similar reactions. So in such reaction systems, they tend to form oligomer products through radical coupling processes. And the products tend to be colloidal forms, which have a very important environmental implication. And such system can be very effective in removal the astrogenicity, because it's very efficient reactions, particularly for the low concentration of the contaminants, because it involves a specific catalyst, and also because the products are not astrogenic. So I'd like to thank you very much.
We have time for one question. I have a question. Do you have an idea what the redox potential was of your systems with the hydrogen peroxide added? Just curious.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I do know that the enzyme itself, the nicotine peroxidase, has a redox potential. Yeah. With earlier studies, with
the microphone, please. Could you talk into the microphone?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I do know that such reactions, there are big discussion about the redox potential of this specific enzyme. Well, with earlier studies about PCB and PAHs, there is one hypothesis. There is one general guideline, which is when the chemicals redox potential is below certain value, it's reactable. When it's above it, it's not. Something along those lines. I don't remember off my hand what the number is, but there is one number. It's a general guideline, you know, that to show which chemicals can be reacted with this specific enzyme. But this enzyme is, in terms of its catalytic performance, you know, it's probably one of the most, one of the strongest oxidative enzymes in the nature, which can react with the PCBs and the PAHs, selective ones.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.